AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. There is tornado devastation in historic Selma, Alabama this morning. But first, the death of rock and roll royalty. Elvis' only child, Lisa Marie Presley, is gone at the age of 54. In 2005, she told CBS Sunday Mornings,
I think anything aside from me when you see me in an interview or the music is a misconception.
Correspondent Steve Futterman has more from Los Angeles.
Paramedics came to the home of Lisa Marie Presley to respond to a medical emergency. There they administered CPR. They then took her to a nearby suburban LA hospital. Doctors, though, were not able to save her. Her death was announced by her mother, Priscilla. In a statement, she said, "It's with a heavy heart I must share the devastating news that my beautiful daughter has left us."
Lisa Marie's last Instagram post expressed continued grief over her son's suicide in 2020. Now to the south, where dozens of tornadoes have torn through several states, killing at least seven people and demolishing buildings just steps from the famed Edmund Pettus Bridge. CBS's Jared Hill.
Selma, Alabama, smack dab in the middle of a line of more than 30 suspected deadly tornadoes.
They tore off the chimney, flipped the car. I mean, it's bad out here. It's bad.
Dozens of homes and buildings now piles of rubble and mangled metal. One twister pulling the roof off a small town medical center.
A six-year-old boy in Georgia was killed when a tree fell on the car he was in. President Biden says he'll cooperate with newly appointed special prosecutor Robert Hur, who's overseeing the investigation into two separate sets of documents marked classified, linked to his time as vice president. CBS's Tom Foti takes a closer look.
How similar are the document cases and special counsel investigations of President Biden and Trump? Not very, says ex-prosecutor Lori Levinson at Mar-a-Lago, she says.
Over 100 classified documents that were found, and also that there had been representations that there were no such documents, that everything had been turned over.
But from Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy,
they knew this has happened to President Biden before the election, but they kept it a secret from the American public.
The price of a new Tesla is going down. The Wall Street Journal's just reporting the company is cutting prices by nearly 20% to lure new buyers as demand drops for Elon Musk's EVs. An answer to the question,
where have you been?
Rihanna released a trailer overnight teasing her performance at Super Bowl halftime.
It's been 2,190 days.
Dude, Rihanna, we waited
it's
for
been
you.
Over she teases her first live performance in 6 years in the 30-second spot, pressing an index finger to her lips in a sign of hush. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
We have a full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. For this Friday, I'm Pat Kreitlow up here on Lake Wissota in beautiful Chippewa County. And Aaron Sommers is down in Madison at the global headquarters of Civic Media. If you want to learn more about Civic Media, the radio stations, the shows, go to civicmedia.us. There's a page there, Aaron, for every show. There's something there for every station. And yet I fear you're getting short shrift. I don't believe we have a page dedicated to the producers, the essential employees who make all this happen.
You know, I feel like we were going to add a staff directory to the website. I know we ended up, like, we had a photographer come in and take pictures of everybody for that. I guess it just hasn't happened yet.
You had a photographer come in and take pictures?
Yeah, that was a while ago, probably a month and a half, maybe.
Okay. Well, I did talk to you earlier this week. I'm thinking of maybe starting a newsletter just for the radio show. And I think since you put together the bulk of the musical segments for this, that, you know, maybe once a week or so, you want to share some of these little musical tidbits that you educate me on throughout the course of the show.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. We could get a nice place to collect the biggest hits of the week, I guess, for people who might not have had a chance to listen to the show every day.
I asked Carolyn Fiddler in the last segment if she'd ever fronted a band. You're the one that actually has music history, music experience. I don't know if you've ever told me, if you're in a band, are you ever wearing a t-shirt with concert dates on the back of some tour that you took or anything like that?
Not a tour that I took. No, I haven't been in a band that's actually like done anything. I've been in a couple, I guess, bands with my friends that we kind of just messed around, played some music, but one that was particularly interesting, somebody I didn't actually know in high school contacted me and was like, "Hey, you play drums. Do you want to be in a band? Play some punk music?" I was like, "Sure." So we met up at a coffee shop, started talking about stuff, and then this individual was talking about like making a scene in Manitowoc and like what we'll do after our first album and like how we'll figure out our fans and stuff. And I'm like, "Dude, I don't even know if you can play the guitar yet." And believe it or not, we didn't even rehearse once.
I was going to say, so he was kind of putting the cart before the horse, all about the publicity and not whether there was any actual talent or ability there.
Yeah.
Which I guess sounds a lot when you think about it, like politics or radio shows or anything like that. Some people get a little ahead of themselves, but again, I think this is something we can work on. I don't put away your drum set just yet. Keep chasing that dream.
Oh yeah. And I think we'll get Carolyn eventually.
There may be a Civic Media Orchestra in all of this yet. Coming up this hour, Mark Jacob joins us, a former editor at the Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times, who is rather prolific on social media about the coverage and sometimes the pitfalls in coverage of national media on the week's events. And so we'll look at some of that. And UW-Eau Claire Athletic Director Dan Schumacher joins us from just up the river from here and tells us a bit about, you know, what's happening in the WIAC and in Wisconsin college sports. And we'll talk about pro sports coming up this weekend as well, including a little team called the Green Bay Packers, who have to win or go home this coming Sunday night when they take on the Detroit Lions. The phone lines are going to be open for our next segment only, where we're just going to continue to talk about January 6th and some of the other news of the day. And then, as I said, we have Mark Jacob at 7:30 and Dan Schumacher at 7:50. So if you want to share your two cents on January 6th and, you know, what needs to happen from here, this would be the time to hop on the phones during the next commercial break at 844-967-2789. Or the line up north is 715-388-7155. Our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. If you have a comment you just want me to pass along and share. And of course, we're monitoring comments on the Up North News Facebook page, where you can watch what we do live. You just go to Facebook and search for Up North News WI. One of the things we'll probably start the next segment talking about, but I'll share a little bit of it here, that Aaron just brought to my attention, is a newly published article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Lawrence Andrea, talking to Congressman-elect Derek Van Orden, who expresses some regret about his appearance on the U.S. Capitol grounds on January 6th. We refer to him as a congressman-elect because he is still not actually a congressman. He has still not been sworn into office. Nobody has in the House of Representatives, because there is no House yet. The first order of business is to organize, which begins by the majority party electing a speaker. They haven't done that yet after, what was it, 11 ballots, something like that. And they will just continue that this morning, allegedly, until we see if Kevin McCarthy can finally get in or out. And then they'll swear in people like Derek Van Orden, who talks a bit about his presence, his decision to go to the U.S. Capitol. Well, in his mind, he was going there for Donald Trump's, you know, quote unquote, stop the steal rally, which did nothing more than further the big lie, further the misinformation about the conduct and the results of the 2020 election. But we'll share a little bit of what he had to say about that and see if his veneer of bipartisanship is thin, or if it rings true. So we'll examine that. We'll hear from you if you've got anything to say, to give us a call on the phones. And then again later, Mark Jacob and Dan Schumacher, all coming up before we wrap up the week here on Up North News Radio. We'll be right back.
Percent of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions, who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. She wasn't even really sure where she was at.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Cloudy skies expected today, with highs around 31. North winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 19. Partly cloudy again tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 35. Cloudy skies expected Sunday, with highs in the upper 30s, chance for scattered rain showers Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
If you ever hear me playing one of my favorite tunes from Huey Lewis in the News, it means that either the weekend is coming, or I've got some extended time off, which is also true. Or in this case, it also means Congress is still not working, still has taken more than a couple of days off before getting down to business, which is why Derek Van Orden is still not sworn in as a congressman for Western Wisconsin's 3rd District. But in an article published this morning by Lawrence Andrea at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he does express some regret about his presence outside the U.S. Capitol building 2 years ago today. Now, Van Orden told the Journal Sentinel he does not regret supporting former President Donald Trump's false claims about the 2020 election. Van Orden, like many others, continues to frame them as election integrity concerns, even though there never has been and never will be any evidence of actual integrity irregularities. But Van Orden does suggest that he wishes he did not attend the Trump rally that preceded the deadly attack on the Capitol, if it would have prevented the public from believing that he embraced the violence. He says, if you look in hindsight, like the volume of stuff, the way that it could be interpreted that I would support political violence, that is regretful. If that made people think that I support political violence, this is a regret because I don't support political violence. That may be the case, Aaron, but
this is just like the most wet noodle argument I've ever heard, where he's just, you know, I have some regrets. I shouldn't have done that. Not because I disagree with it, not because of anything involved with me, only because me being there kind of makes it look like I was associated, but only if it might have made people not think that, then I could see myself regretting it.
I think I'm gonna. It was a lot like in the last hour we talked about a woman being sentenced to just 20 days for, you know, going into the Capitol that day as part of the mob, and it just, again, she's told the judge she just got caught up in the moment, and the judge rightfully asked, well, how do we know you're not going to get caught up in the moment again? And I think that is a very valid question for Derek Van Orden and others who, you know, you say now that you have some regrets, but that you don't regret casting doubt on democracy, on the way that the 2020 election was conducted, because you did it based on nothing. You did it because Donald Trump said so, and so you were going to follow along blindly rather than say, I wonder if there's any evidence that he's got that I should know about. I mean, I would like to think, look, we're all human. We all are fallible, but I would like to think that before I follow somebody blindly down a path that is relying upon an extreme claim, that the first thing I would do would be to say, is that true? I'm going to look into that. I can't tell you how many things we have not talked about on this radio show or that we have not written up for Up North News, because the first thing we did was to look into it and see if what was being thrown around social media was actually true. And it's not sometimes that it wasn't true, but that it wasn't verifiable. And there's nothing wrong with holding your tongue until you can verify something. And that to me is what Van Orden or anybody at that rally 2 years ago today should have done. Is not blindly believed Donald Trump's claim without saying, I wonder if it's true. It comes back to what we said about Trump and his taxes. That, again, why are you supporting somebody who refuses to come clean on their personal finances. And now we learn all these years later that he is indeed a tax cheat. He is indeed a tax fraud. He does stiff you and me, who have to make up the difference in taxes that he doesn't pay. If you had known that back then, wouldn't you have thought twice about supporting him? Well, the same can be said about the 2020 election. Now, back to the story on Van Orden. He maintains that he never entered the Capitol on January 6th. He says he left the area before the violence began. He tweeted that he condemned all forms of political violence while the rioters were in the building. But still, there is a photograph of Van Orden on a wall near the Capitol in an area that was behind police barricades. And so, you know, as a result, questions have been raised about whether his presence there was more than what he says that it is. And he may not like that kind of speculation, but it's going to be there because of the hundreds of people that are still being investigated. They're still looking at surveillance footage and photographs and things like that. And that's where those questions about not just the attendees, but the planners are going to continue on and on until we get some better answers. And it's not just radio hosts and politicians that are looking for that. It's people who truly stand for election integrity, truly stand for voter integrity, like Matt Rothschild from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, who joins us now and who wrote an essay this week about the continuing quest for justice against those who took part in the deadly events of January 6th and leading up to that, like the fake elector scheme, in some way, shape, or form. Matt Rothschild, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Morning, Pat. Thanks for inviting me on again. It's always nice to be on.
Yeah, I appreciate it on short notice because I did just see the column that you wrote up. And look, it does make the case that we don't know, we're not going to get to know right away everything that Merrick Garland and the U.S. Department of Justice may be working on, or Josh Call and the Wisconsin Department of Justice, or the Dane County District Attorney. And I think the point of your column was, yeah, these guys are professionals. They have to do an investigation, but these are my words, not yours. Tick, 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 tick. Let's go, guys.
Yeah, what's taking so long? You know, it's been 2 years today since the January 6th insurrection plot to overthrow our government, this criminal conspiracy that started at the very top with Donald Trump. But there were co-conspirators here in Wisconsin that haven't been prosecuted yet. And the question is, why not? Those 10 false electors were participating in a fraudulent exercise to deprive Wisconsin voters of their votes. And then we have Senator Ron Johnson, who is telling the Wisconsin legislature just to disregard the votes and declare Trump the winner. We have Ron Johnson, who was trying to hand false electors to Vice President Pence just minutes before the beginning of the Electoral College on January 6th, 2 years ago. I mean, 2 years is a long time. When someone robs a bank and there's footage of the person robbing the bank, they don't wait 2 years to arrest the person who's been robbing the bank. And so what's taken so long? If I'm a prosecutor, if I'm Josh Call, you know, why haven't I brought charges? Or Ishmael Lozon, who's the DA in Dane County, that's where these false elector crimes were committed. Why is he sitting on his hands? I mean, it's very frustrating for those of us who want to see accountability for the crimes committed in this criminal conspiracy on January 6th. It's frustrating about Merrick Garland waiting and waiting and waiting. And it's frustrating here in Wisconsin. I mean, no one should be able to get away with what these folks got away with so far anyway on January 6th.
Right, because we've learned so much since then. You know, I think a lot of people took it at face value that it was a just-in-case kind of deal, that we're putting our name on these fraudulent elector certificates, you know, in case there's any actual fraud discovered in, you know, the win by Joe Biden in Wisconsin. But we've since learned, this was concocted before the election, before there was any evidence. It had intent. And we know that the attorney general, for example, in the state of Michigan has an investigation going on here.
But you always have to be prepared to commit counter fraud.
maybe that's what it is. I don't know, Matt. Again, it's not that you know, nothing is happening in Wisconsin, but we just don't really know the way that we do in Michigan.
No, and you know, if the Michigan Attorney General can investigate these folks, why can't Josh call? And I know the great new progressive law firm Law Forward has been begging prosecutors in Wisconsin, including Ishmael Lozon and Josh Call, to get off the dime on this thing. It's just, you know, 2 years since this horrible assault on our democracy occurred with Wisconsin people, including Ron Johnson and the false electors involved in it, and no one has been charged yet. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me.
And we continue learning, as we did just days ago, that the January 6th committee released more transcripts from depositions. And we know that Andrew Hitt, who was chair of the state Republican Party and one of the false electors, sent a text confirming that Johnson had contacted him back on December 7th of 2020. And that that Hitt's text message said, "Ron called me and now is arguing for us to have the legislature choose the electors. OMG." The OMG is basically a confession that this top state Republican official knew that this Republican U.S. senator was seeking something that was anti-democratic at least and illegal at worst.
Yeah, and it's not the first time that Andrew Hitt, you know, raised his eyebrows about what was about the scheme that he himself was involved in. There were other messages that he had revealed to the January 6th committee prior, which said, you know, these crazy folks in Trump world, you know, want us to deliver this slate of electors to them, and so he was involved, but not. He didn't think it was a great idea to be, you know, driving the person who's going to rob the bank to the bank, but he was there driving the car. I mean, it's just, that's Andrew Hitt, but his evidence on Ron Johnson is really damning. And again, are we going to let anybody, whether it's a U.S. senator or whether it's 10 imposters, try in a conspiracy to deprive people of Wisconsin of their right to vote? Are they just going to be able to get away with that? I mean, what message does that send to people who want to screw with our election next time around?
Well, here's what it says. It says one among those 10 false electors is Bob Spindell. And correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, Bob Spindell still sits on the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
Yeah, this is just unbelievable. Robert Spindell, Bob Spindell, Republican hack, has been on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, appointed by Devin Lemieux and reappointed by Devin Lemieux, even though he's one of the false electors. And when Law Forward brought a complaint to the Wisconsin Elections Commission about the false electors, including Bob Spindell, Bob Spindell didn't even recuse himself and voted not to investigate Bob Spindell. I mean, that's nice if you can get away with doing that with that conflict of interest and have no pride or shame, but that's who Bob Spindell is.
Well, and again, that was back, that vote was taken when the Elections Commission kind of took people at their word that it was a contingency thing, not something that had actually been a conspiracy to, you know, plot this, you know, thing that I think I and many think is a crime. Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, thanks so much for your insight on short notice. Sure appreciate it.
My pleasure, Pat. Have a nice weekend.
All right. Yep, you too. Happy New Year. And we will be back with Mark Jacob to talk more about this week's events and press coverage of them after this. You're up north.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Fans are remembering Elvis' only child after Lisa Marie Presley suffered cardiac arrest and died at the age of 54. KCBS-TV's Lauren Posen from West Hills, California.
Here at the hospital where she was being treated, people have come by, some with flowers in their hands to pay their respects to this woman that really meant so much because of her ties to music royalty.
At least seven people killed in a massive storm that spawned dozens of tornadoes in the South. Dean Griffin heads Lawrence Medical Center in northern Alabama.
It blew a major chunk of the roof off, and unfortunately that's in the area where most of our patients are, in our patient rooms.
The attorney general's appointed a special prosecutor to investigate two batches of papers connected to President Biden.
They discovered a small number of documents of classified markings in storage areas and file cabinets in my home and my personal library.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News and our new early morning program heard right here on weekday mornings, Up North News Radio. We're a small but scrappy state-based newsroom that covers politics and policy, but also other stories that show off our state, its people, places, food, and much more. You can find all of that on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, or on your favorite social media site. Just search for Up North News WI. Don't forget the WI, and give us a follow. Then, from 6 to 8 a.m., we talk about those stories and much more right here on the statewide radio stations of Civic Media. We have guests, analysis, commentary, we talk music, sports, weather, and probably a few too many anecdotes about my time as a TV anchor, a state legislator, an island dweller, and now a grandpa. It's real information and good conversation that's unabashedly Wisconsin. That's Up North News Radio, weekday mornings from 6 to 8, on the radio, online, and on demand.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
The Devil's Advocates.
The plaintiff, Donald J. Trump, hereby serves his suit against the defendants, Hillary Clinton and her cohorts, orchestrated an unthinkable plot, one that shocks the conscience and is an affront to the nation's democracy. This week on Fox.
You know what I mean? Like you're throwing a few too many adverbs and adjectives in this sentence.
One man, one mission, Donald Trump gets made fun of. This is Watergate 2.
Making radio great again.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Boy, I had to go way back in the archives for that one here. Alexander O'Neill. In case you're saying, wait, I know that. Who is that? That was apparently a one-hit wonder there. But we'll get to George Santos in just a moment. First, we're going to talk to Mark Jacob, a former editor at the Chicago Sun-Times and the Chicago Tribune. And, I mean, we know what the 1-2 punch of big stories this week has been. Congress being gridlocked over a choice for speaker and this 2-year anniversary of the January 6th insurrection. So we'll get into that. Amongst other things. But Mark, how are you? Happy New Year to you.
Doing great. Happy New Year to you too, Pat.
I think that your observation this week was best about the solution to this race for Speaker of the House should be George Santos. I mean,
perfect Republican. I mean, can you name a better Republican, a Republican who most exemplifies what the Republican Party has become in modern times? I don't think so. I mean, you know, lie, you know, I mean, someone who lies as easily as most of us breathe is, and the fact that it also, the thing about the Santos thing that's just so exemplary of what's going on is that they find this guy just lying about everything, lying about his mother's death, lying about you name it. And the leadership of the Republican Party has nothing to say about it. I mean, it's like, well, this is normal. Don't remind us about this. We have other things to talk about. We're going to talk about Hunter Biden's laptop looking like today. You know, just the utter moral bankruptcy of today's Republican Party is just blows me away. I mean, it's, you know, here I am, son of Goldwater supporters, raised in a Republican household. And I'm not saying that, I mean, the Republican Party had problems back in the 60s and too. I'm not saying that, although they signed on to, you know, voting rights and civil rights legislation with the Democrats back in the 60s. I mean, but the Republican Party today, I mean, it's just, it's sad. It's sad. And I wish it wasn't that way. It's not like I'm saying, oh, I'm glad the Republican Party is terrible so that I can criticize them. No, I wish they would like wake up and stop being so terrible. That's my wish for the new year, is that they'll wake up and stop being so terrible.
And it's not as if they did not know that some people had misgivings. As you and others have pointed out, the holes in George Santos's resume, to put it charitably, were actually discovered by a tiny local newspaper, but it was a case of, you know, not enough people either saw it or believed it or spread it or what have you. So, I mean, the signs were there, and they were there because of local journalism.
Yeah. But there's less local journalism. That's the thing. I mean, that's the frustrating thing, is that the local outlet got it, but nobody really picked it up. And my initial thought when the Santos thing came out and the New York Times, you know, broke it, but the New York Times broke it certainly belatedly, was that I wonder if there's some culture issue in the New York Times newsroom where if you're, you know, covering the big news, you know, Ukraine, or you're in Washington, that's where, you know, all the status is. And the people who are doing local news in New York, and this was a local story for New York, and the New York Times got embarrassed by failing to cover a local story, and that the local desk at the New York Times is just kind of the backwater and doesn't get enough credit. When the thing about it, Pat, you know, and I was like Metro editor at the Chicago Tribune, so I was dealing with local news, and the local news is the bedrock of most news organizations. It's why people subscribe, and especially in the New York area, that's why they would subscribe. So it was a big failure. It was a failure for a lot of places. The Democrats could have certainly done better at exposing it. If they knew it, they didn't. You know, this is a thing called Oppo Research, mm-hmm. you know, where news organization, I mean, where political organizations, they investigate their opponents. And the thing about that also is that political organizations investigate themselves because they don't want to get surprised by the Oppo research by the other side. So the Republicans had every obligation to investigate George Santos. And maybe they did. I don't know. Maybe if they did, they maybe kept it quiet. The real question with Santos to me is, the guy's working in a call center, and about a year or two later, he's giving himself a $700,000 donation to his own campaign. I mean, that is fishy. And I wonder whether Santos is going to end up, you know, in federal court rather than in Congress at some point.
I could completely see that, especially as, you know, people are still following the money, if you will, to, you know, to Russian oligarchs and, right. and things like that. So, as I've said a couple of times this morning about January 6th, just because it's been 2 years, doesn't mean the investigations or anything else are going away. Yeah, the January 6th committee went away, but we're going to keep hearing more about, you know, fraud and criminal material for some time to come. And that's it's going to happen to probably Congressman-elect Santos as well.
Well, you know, Pat, the thing about that is about the money and this secret money in American politics is that it's obvious that some secret money has come from foreign sources into the Republican Party, especially. And I think one of the big historical questions will be, where did Trump get his money? Why did Deutsche Bank give him money when nobody else would? And the answer, I think, has got to be that there was some guarantee of his loans by some foreign source. And, you know, Russian oligarchs is the best guess of mine, although he certainly has been cozying up the Saudis, too. I'm just saying that foreign influence in American elections going all the way to, you know, up to the top to Trump in the Republican Party is something that ultimately I bet we learn, but it should alarm every American.
Oh, very much. And I truly thought it was going to happen long ago because I remember following the FIFA scandal. FIFA is the world governing body of soccer. And they I'm sure a lot of folks have long since forgotten that in 2014, an immense financial scandal was found involving all manner of bribery and everything else. And it was a couple of international financial journalists who essentially broke the story. And that gave me probably too deep of a sense of faith that, again, financial journalists were going to finally, you know, figure out where Trump's money was coming from and others. And it still hasn't truly happened yet, which is not to say that reporting isn't going on even as we speak. But I have to admit, I really thought we would learn more by now. But like you just said, we are going to continue learning.
Well, and the thing about it is that journalists don't have subpoena power. Journalists cannot like charge into somebody's office and demand their records unless it's the government. And even then they obstruct. But so that's the thing that makes it hard for some giant financial crime and conspiracy like this to get found out by journalists, is that they just have very limited access to the records that they would prove it. But that doesn't mean the government, which does have subpoena power, shouldn't be trying a lot harder to demand that Deutsche Bank explain how the hell they gave Trump all that money in a loan. You know, and some of those loans were forgiven and stuff. So it's like, it's pretty much, I mean, I hate to say it, and I can't prove it, but it's pretty clear that Donald Trump was bought by foreign interests, that he has been bribed. And the thing about that, after you bribe somebody like that, then you can compromise them by blackmailing. I mean, it's a bribe, then it's a blackmail. Because if you bribe them, then you can threaten to reveal the bribe. Mm-hmm. And so then you got them. And when you look at Donald Trump's behavior toward Russia, There's no other rational explanation for what's happened other than the idea that he's somehow in the pocket of Russia and Vladimir Putin and his allies. There's nothing else that makes any sense. You can't explain Helsinki without that. Why did a U.S. president humiliate himself on the international stage like that? Why does he say nothing bad about one of the worst characters in global politics? I challenge somebody to give me another explanation that makes any sense other than the fact that he has been working with Russian oligarchs for many years. They've been giving him money and he's got to shut up about it.
Well, it's as I said, when the Trump taxes were finally released, I said, I have so many I told you so's pent up inside of me. Right. And they're just going to continue to spew out as these things come up. A vote for House Speaker, of course, continues to drag on. But you and I both agreed there hasn't been a lot of terrible coverage of the vote for Speaker, the race for Speaker, simply because this is right in the bailiwick of many national media outlets. This is horse race coverage.
Yeah, that's the thing, that they love this, because then they can, you know, they can put the little tote board on the screen about, you know, who's doing, you know, who's leading, who's got this. And it doesn't have to get into that messy thing about issues and about, you know, getting health care to people and stuff and education and all these boring issues. The news media would much rather deal with the conflict of of politics and who gets the votes and who's this, who's up, who's down. As if, you know, Pat, as if anybody, you know, that's just struggling to keep a job and to feed their family and to maybe figure out how to get their kid into college gives a crap about whether Kevin McCarthy is Speaker of the House. They just don't care. They would rather what they do care about is Congress doing something to help them. And that's not getting done. But so I'm not, it's certainly a big news story, but you're right that it's that the whole what's going on now on the floor is just, you know, that's this personalities and conflict driven journalism that the mainstream media loves. They haven't done a bad job of it. You know, the thing that I kind of worry about more in the next 2 years with just a giant clown show in the U.S. House of Representatives, because it's run by people who don't care about the country, they just care about themselves, is that the mainstream media will take it too seriously. And it's got to take it a little seriously because it's the U.S. House of Representatives, but they don't have to confer all this legitimacy and credibility on investigation of Hunter's laptop or they're even talking about investigating past impeachments. So they're going to like crack open the Ukraine impeachment and explain why there was nothing to it when obviously there was something to it. And so they're going to like go back, you know, look backward at all this stuff that didn't matter and, invent all these conspiracies and give legitimacy to it. And if the mainstream news media goes along with them and acts like that's a real rational thing, then it's going to be a big, big problem. And we'll have to see. Obviously, nobody's been sworn in the U.S. House of Representatives yet. So, you know, who knows what they'll do. But what my view is that, you know, what we've seen in the last 3 days with just complete dysfunction and Republican backbiting in the U.S. House is likely to get even worse. I think it's going to be like 2 years of just extreme embarrassment where you have like, you know, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz. You're going to have the inmates in charge of the asylum. And it's going to be embarrassing for the country. But at this point, it's been so embarrassing that the news media has been perfectly willing to call it an embarrassment, which is accurate, and hasn't done anything terrible lately on the coverage. I'm just worried that they're going to get over this, and the Republicans are going to come up with just crazy ass stuff, and the news media is going to act like, well, that's just normal, that's fine, that's the way it is.
That's just it. It's the things that they will normalize once this is all done,
right,
that should
right.
be concerning to a lot of news viewers. Mark Jacob, thanks so much. Glad to talk to you. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks here.
All right. Talk to you then.
All right. Have a great weekend. The other thing about the issues is that they actually could talk issues this week just based on all the nominating speeches. You know, there's a lot of things in there. For example, you'd think Republicans are about nothing more than, you know, stop being Mexican and Central American refugees, because it comes up in every nominating speech rather than what, you know, middle-class Americans are trying to go through on a daily basis. So we'll continue to monitor. Dan Schumacher coming up next as we preview the weekend. You're up north.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with The Bears Still Suck as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we really not good at the season opener.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected today with highs around 31. North winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 19. Partly cloudy again tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 35. Cloudy skies expected Sunday with highs in the upper 30s. Chance for scattered rain showers Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
All right, you deadheads, let's head into the weekend with our friend Dan Schumacher and talk about some sports going on around Wisconsin this weekend. And I'm going to take a kind of the long way of getting to local WIAC sports in, you know, wherever your hometown is in Wisconsin. But as you know, Dan, last week I was in Idaho visiting our older daughter and her boys. And we went to a hockey game for the Idaho Spud Kings, nice. Which is a tier three junior hockey thing in the US IHL or something like that. Mm-hmm. My point being, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the NHL. It wasn't the Olympic hockey team. It wasn't even Division One. These are players hoping to get noticed, you know, by Division One scouts at some point. But the place was rocking. I mean, the people of Idaho Falls come in and they just made it a great time. And so that's how I'm making my plug for whether it's your teams with the UW-Eau Claire Blue Golds or the Pointers or the Phoenix or, you know, anybody like that. I think people underestimate the opportunities they have to go see some local sports around Wisconsin.
No doubt about it, Pat. I mean, just local in Chippewa Falls, you've got the Chippewa Falls Steel, which is a juniors program, and they do very well attracting fans. It engages the community, which is the most important part of the athletic part, is to engage your community. And you see it all over the states, especially the Midwest. Hockey's a big deal, but it isn't just hockey. It's basketball, it's football. All these sports, all they do is bring people together and create its own community, which in itself is a good thing. So yeah, it's sports does bring people together and it creates community. And I can't think of more positive things than that.
And in your role, you sometimes have to make the rounds when there are multiple things going on. And I mean, if I had the schedule ability, I would tail you to as many of those Blue Gold hockey games as you go to, yeah. Because Hobbs Ice Arena is always a good time there as well.
And it will be tomorrow, Saturday tomorrow. We get to do some crossover. What I'm talking about crossover is that we won two national championships last year in men's track and field. We're going to pass out the championship rings in between the first period and the second period of the men's hockey game tomorrow night.
Nice.
So we're going to have a cross, you know, different fans at the hockey game that are usually there because of the passing out of the national championship rings. But I'll first be coming from women's basketball game at 5 o'clock. So yeah, it's usually a full slate each day, each weekend with mm-hmm. sports.
Yeah. So there will also, of course, be things at a more professional level, shall we say, including the final week of the regular season. Dan, I would never have put money on the fact that the Lions-Packers game at the end of the regular season was going to stand for anything. And yet here it is for one team goes on and one team goes home.
And I'll go a step further. I can't believe the NFL moved it to the primetime game in the evening.
I can't either. I really can't.
I mean, I don't know if too many people are happy about that. I mean, it's good for TV probably, but, you know, people would like to see the 3:25 game, you know, that three o'clock in the afternoon game. But the NFL and the network must think the game's pretty special for them to move it there.
It just seems to me you either have to put a, you know, a, a nothing game there, because what you want to do, and I think baseball is now doing a better job of this as well, is you want all those final games that have any consequences all played at the same time, so that, you know, you don't know going into the game if you're in or out. You add some drama and excitement that way. And right. I can't imagine why the NFL wouldn't want that. And, you know, maybe not even have a Sunday night game at the end there, and, you know, give NBC, you know, an extra playoff game or something instead. So again, like you said, good for ratings, but not great for scheduling.
That's great for scheduling the fans. I don't, you know, it's a school night. Mm-hmm. It's still a Sunday night. Oh. Is a school night. You know, and I guarantee you the bars and the restaurants would prefer it to be at 3:30 than at 7:30.
Oh yeah.
At night. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. No doubt as well. You were telling me I was getting dizzy with all the numbers just going through in your case, all the blue gold rankings, all the various teams. These are national rankings that you get to brag about.
Yeah. I bragged a little too much, but
maybe a little bit,
maybe. But, yeah, we've got a lot of great things going on, and the league is so strong. And when you are ranked in that top 10, and we have multiple programs currently in the top 10, you know it's earned. It's earned. There's no doubt, because of the level of competition. And, you know, I'll give you a story. When I took over in 13, we had 13 kids on our wrestling program, and they wanted me to drop the program. And I said, no, let me take a look at it. I was a former wrestler in high school. And now we have 48 kids on the program, and we're ranked eighth in the country. So there's, you know, we've had some really good upside with a lot of our programs, and the WIAC just makes us better because of the competition. And again, we're influencing communities, because the WIAC is in a lot of parts of the communities of this state.
Mm-hmm. We professionally have the Bucks at home tonight against the Hornets. Badger men's basketball team is at Illinois tomorrow. Badger women host the Gophers on Sunday afternoon. Marquette men's basketball hosts Georgetown tomorrow afternoon. And then there's your Bears. Do they even let the Bears play anymore?
Justin Fields is not playing this week, so the Vikings are going to get let off the hook. So, but I don't know how much. I mean, the Vikings really don't have anything to play for. I mean,
right.
I think their seed and their place in the playoffs is pretty much locked up. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Cousins doesn't play.
No, I wouldn't be either, because again, you're looking to avoid injuries, and especially with Fields, because he's pretty much all Chicago has.
The Bears don't mind losing, because it just gives them a better chance for the number two pick in the draft.
And now there's talk that the AFC games, because they're not going to make up the Bills Bengals one with the terrible injury, but that there may be a neutral site AFC championship game. The NFL is going to consider that, and things could get to be a real mess, and I get that this is a tragedy, the injury yes. that happened to the Bills players, but boy, it has really thrown a wrench into the works here.
I don't understand where that line of thinking of going to a neutral site. Why? What? I don't know if that's going to make it any better, the situation any better. I mean, other than that, I don't know. I don't understand the rationale on that, to going to a neutral site. Try to get things back to normal.
Yes. But, you know, again, back to the human element of it, because you were a football player yourself. You've taken some heavy hits, and understand just how thankful everybody is that things have turned out the way that they have.
Yes. Yes. I heard some really good reports last night on the 9 o'clock news regarding him. And I thought the best sign was that he was writing and asking questions. He still had on a ventilator, but he was awake, coherent. And he was able to write and ask questions. So if his neurological part is working and being able to do that, and the motor skills, that's a really good sign.
And having that improvement from DeMar Hamlin, is really racked up to instant action with CPR and having folks nearby, having an AED in the area. And so to the degree that helps more people get training for their staff or their colleagues or whatever, and get the equipment on hand, I think that can only be a good thing for all of us. Dan Schumacher, thanks so much. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
You betcha. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Talk to you a little bit later on. That'll do it. Live shows again resume on January 16th. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Have a great weekend.
fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With the I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.